Good morning, everyone. I hope you are blessed and you know that you are blessed despite some of the feelings, despite some of the thoughts you might have this morning. But we believe in God's goodness. We believe that God is the one watching over us in every season. In every season, that's who our great God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're gonna just give a couple of a few moments to people so they could, so they can be joining us, and I'm going to share a message that the Lord has put on my heart this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. This morning we are coming to you live from my house. Thank you for the technical guys, to Gabi and Tibe and Radu and the volunteers from the worship music department who are helping us to stay connected even during this time. And everybody's making a team effort. It's Pastor Jared and Daniela and Ruben and Rochella, all of us trying to stay connected. Hallelujah. That's the way it should be. And I also encourage you to stay as connected as you want. We change forms. We're not meeting in buildings, but it doesn't change the essence of who we are as a church community. It doesn't change our mission or vision for this city. We are supposed to be for God and in God, and even at times like this, to reach out to Him so He can fill us with knowledge, with grace, and His presence, and then we can be a blessing to others as well. May I also encourage you to be generous, to be faithful to God, and if you want to help the ministry of the church, we are continuing to reach out. This month, it's been a month where our expenses have increased because we are trying to reach out, helping elderly, helping people in need. If you want to bless us and carry the work, you can donate to the Church Association. You'll find a link in the comments. It takes you to the web page, and basically you have the information there. So we encourage you, if you want to donate in Romania, use the ING account because you can do it all online and make all the payments and necessary things. If you have questions, you can talk to our church treasurer or any of the leaders. But we believe that God is faithful, and we are grateful that some of you have already been involved and been very proactive and try to bless other people, because that's what we need to do at a time like this. This is not just a time to retreat, to fend just for ourselves and our family. Yes, that's our calling, but we also need to be connected and be a blessing to others. Mihaela, the lady who serves in Japan, is gonna get on a plane in a couple of days. We wanna help her. If you wanna make a special donation for her, please use that same link, that ING bank account that we have, and just say there for Mihaela, for Japan, for missions abroad. We know it'll be for her, and we will direct all those funds to her because, as our Lord and Savior Jesus said, our purpose, our eyes need to be following the spread of the gospel until the end of the earth. Yes, it's important to stay connected, to find out what's happening, the dynamics in Italy and in Spain and in New York and Michigan, all over the states, to see what's happening with the virus. But even more important is for us to stay connected to the gospel, because it's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that gives us hope and sustains us even at a time like this. And these are not just empty words. I'm not just doing a job here. This is a vocation. This is a calling for me. And I know that God has been good, and He'll continue to be good, even though we are dealing with some extraordinary circumstances. And yes, it's been a tough week for many of us. For many of us, this week is the week when the virus went from just being a story on television and affecting countries and others. It's now also about something that happens in our families or in our friends and with people that we care about. As some of you know, this week, a pastor who has been very instrumental in my own life, God used him back in 1989. He preached a very powerful and relevant message at a funeral, and I was attending that funeral as a young man, and God used that message for me to really understand the gospel, for me to understand that I am supposed to really allow the Lord, allow God to change my life, to come into my life as Lord and Savior. So that's why I'm so grateful for God. But I'm so sorry to hear, to see that Pastor Vasile Candreanu, sorry, yeah, Candreanu has left Earth and has finished his run here on Earth, and now he's in the presence of God. And despite this challenge, despite the difficulties, we know that God it's still on the throne. He is still faithful. And I know many of you are struggling with questions, and some of you are concerned with people back home, your family, friends. And this is a time for us to stay close to each other. It's a time to allow God to deal with our question. It's okay to come to God with questions. It's okay to even question God's ways. Of course, we have to do that in a proper way, in a way that it's respectful God, but at the same time, God doesn't mind for us to ask him tough questions, doesn't mind for us to pour our hearts before God with prayers of intercession and with questions, and to pray for our country and for governments, whether we like them or not. We have this responsibility. So I pray that each and every one of us, despite our questions right now, despite our background, some of you are from America, and America is now being affecting, especially some parts of it. Some of you from Asia, and Asia is an area that is now under a lot of tension. But God is still God; He's still Almighty God, and run to Him, run to Him. And what I want to share this morning, it's about running to God. It's about how we can stay closer to God or connect to God. Of course, God is not a person; He's not an application that you connect with a code. But I do believe there are certain steps, but also certain challenges that we all have as we try to reach out to God, as we try to get closer to Jesus. And I want to read a short passage from scriptures from the book of Luke, and I believe that this is going to help us understand a little more about the challenges that we have when we come to Jesus, and also how we can overcome these challenges, how we can be closer, excuse me, closer to Jesus. And if you want to follow me, I would encourage you to read from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19, from the beginning of the passage. And it's a famous story of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and it goes like this: Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Hallelujah. Amen. I am so grateful. I'm so grateful that Jesus, Son of God and the Son of Man, he came to save the lost, to seek and save the lost, because I was lost. And many times I'm still lost. And I'm so grateful that God is seeking me, and he's not allowing me to go astray and get lost in my questions, and lost in my ways, and lost in my pride, and lost in my sin, and lost in my confusion. But he is a great God. And I believe that the story of the encounter of Jesus and Zacchaeus, it's something that is relevant for us today. And it's relevant for people everywhere, regardless of times, even during this time of the pandemic, of the coronavirus pandemic. And we don't know a whole lot about this person, about Zacchaeus. The Bible tells us a few things about him, but I believe in this passage we find enough information that can truly be relevant to us, that can help us understand a little more about how we can connect, how we can come close to Jesus. You know, Jesus was going by. He entered Jericho. You know, it was towards the end of his ministry on earth, and he always had time for people. And that's Jesus today. He has many things to do. He has a big agenda, so to speak, but he's never too busy. He's not like us. He doesn't get so busy that he doesn't have time to connect, to listen, to interact with people. And this guy Zacchaeus was there. He was part of his city, and he heard about Jesus. I'm sure, like many other people in at the time in Palestine, Israel, they found about this guy, this prophet from Galilee. And some of the miracles he has done, and some of the claims, and some of the great teachings that he has shared, and he had some curiosity. He wanted to know more. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot, so we are not to speculate too much. But obviously, he wanted to find more. He wanted to see who this Jesus was. And it's interesting enough that, you know, he had a couple of issues, a couple of challenges he had to overcome in order for him to see Jesus, in order for him to connect with Jesus. And the way the Bible puts it, it's like this: he was a chief tax collector. Well, tax collectors are not among the most popular people anywhere at any times. But if there was ever a time when tax collectors were not liked or even resented, was at a time when the Roman Empire was dominating that area, and they were partly working for the Romans, partly working for the local king. And the biggest part, they were working for themselves, like it happened so many times. We've seen it in Romania. When a lot of corruption, thank God is better now, but we still pray. It happens in many countries that some of these tax collectors, they do things in a way that benefits them and their interest. It also says that he was wealthy. So he was quite wealthy as a tax collector. It means that he was doing some things wrongly. He was bribing. He was turning blind eye to some things, you know. And this is what you know, what we are invited to do. This is what we are supposed to do. And to look at this story of Zacchaeus and learn some things from us. Zacchaeus had too much of something. He had too much wealth, you know, accumulated in the wrong way. And wealth is something that can be problematic. Wealth is something that can sometimes make us be reliable on our wealth. Wealth is not bad in itself. Please hear me out. Some preachers, some people find texts that say, oh, if you're wealthy, is not. No, wealth is good. Wealth in itself is not bad. But what is wrong when money has you, not when you have money and some resources. But this guy was a tax collector, was wealthy. It's an indication that he was also probably most likely corrupt. And he even admits later if you read it. Also, there was another problem with this guy. He was short. He was short. So in order for him to see Jesus, he had to do something creative. He had to run ahead, think ahead, be intentional, get in a tree, and look to Jesus. And I believe that in these two examples, these two challenges that we see here, on one hand, he had too much of something. He had the wealth. He had a bad reputation. We see a little later that when Jesus decided and told Zacchaeus that he wants to be his guest, he wants to go inside his house, which was a big deal back then, you know. And even today, it's like when you're somebody's guest, it means like, hey, you know, that relationship is important. And people are muttering. It says like all the people, it doesn't mean some people or a few of the people, it says all the people. It was a scandal, which, by the way, reminds us that the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ, God incarnated, he came on earth and he came to be a part of every one of us lives and enter our lives and change our lives around. It's a scandalous. It's a scandal. It's kind of unheard. It doesn't make sense. Why would the perfect God would leave his perfect place of dwelling in heaven, the perfect Trinity, the relationship of unity, of love in the Trinity, to come in our mess, to come in our midst, as we are, as broken and fallible and confused people? Why would Jesus do such a thing? It's a big scandal. It's a big scandal to believe that Jesus would give his life so everyone who believes, anyone who believes in him, anyone who is ready to come to him like this tax collector did, could be restored to God, could be forgiven forever. It's scandalous. You mean it's like not only some people, like some good moral people or some people who try really hard to be saved and be good, not only to those, it's salvation reserved for, but everyone, even bad sinners, even awful sinners, even people like this tax collector who are stealing money from his own people and kind of being a traitor, even people like that have access to the gospel of salvation. It absolutely is true. That's why they call it the scandalous. That's why the gospel is a good news, so good that it's unbelievable. It almost doesn't make sense. It's like, why would God do this? But God, in his amazing love, in his amazing righteousness, in the gospel, he brought these things together. So anyone who is ready to understand his or her need for God can receive the power of salvation, because the gospel, it's power. It brings forgiveness. It gives us access to the grace and to the love of God. So this guy, Zacchaeus, had two problems. And it's kind of representative of each and every one of us. On one hand, he had too much of something, too much of a bad reputation, too much wealth accumulated in the wrong way that kind of made him secure in the wrong things. On the other hand, he was short. He didn't have enough physical height in order to see Jesus. Other people were blocking his view. And this is kind of like representative of us, like I said, because we have things in our own life that sometimes we have too much of them, or we perceive that we have too much of them, and sometimes they prevent us to stay closer to God. And I'm not going to make a long list, but like some of us may feel like, hey, I made my life too big of a mess for God to intervene, or I messed up with God too many times. He forgave me over and over again, and I still sin in awful ways, and how could God forgive me? Some of us feel like we have maybe too many nets from the past, like I was sharing before from the story when Jesus called his disciples. They were supposed to drop their nets. They dropped their physical nets that they were using to fish, and then they followed Jesus. But in our lives, we have all sorts of nets that kind of entangle us and keep us and kind of tie us to our past. There are relationships, there are bad connections, there are traditions from the past that are not good, maybe from our family, maybe from our background, maybe there are patterns of thinking, and we have too much of that. Some of us are maybe we have a lot of good things in our life, maybe education and money or connections or good looks, and because of that, it's hard for us to say, I really need God. Because we have a lot going for us, we may say, I'm good. I think I can figure it out. It's a little tough right now, but I think I can figure it out. I think I can find a way. Please don't allow even the good things of your life to hold you back from coming to Jesus, from being intentional to come closer to Jesus. Even at a time like this when we are right now, don't let your scientific questions, don't let your doubts, don't let the pain, because we have a lot of pain and questions, don't let this thing stop you from looking to Jesus. It's easy for the things of life, as the Apostle John puts it. It's easy for the things of the flesh, for the things of what hits the eyes, for the pride of life, to prevent us from loving Jesus more. But what we are taught and encouraged from this story and from others in the Bible is that we look to Jesus because he's the author and finisher, which means that he's starting this relationship. As you look at the dynamic, yes, Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, but it's obvious if you read the story that Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. Jesus is the one looking for each and every one of us today, not just for those who need to open their heart to Jesus for the first time and accept him and welcome him in their life as Savior, as Lord, as the one true God. But each and every one of us, Jesus is looking for us. He's looking to comfort us. He's looking to fill us with strength and wisdom, to give us power, to give us understanding for such a time as this. Yes, we may not understand all the medical terms. We may not understand all the causation for this big mess that started in China. We may not understand why all the pain, why all the financial implications, and why when some of your dreams, some of your businesses were starting to move up and starting to happen, and now you kind of have to retreat and adapt. We don't understand some of those things, but we know that God is a good God, and we can rely in his goodness, and he's looking to all of us to comfort us, to bring us peace about tomorrow and about the next month and so forth. We don't know how long this crisis is going to be intense. Maybe another month, maybe it's going to be 3 more months. Who knows? Maybe even next year we may have to deal with some of this. We'll see. But whatever it is, whatever tomorrow holds, and we don't know exactly what tomorrow holds or the day after tomorrow, We know the one who holds tomorrow. We know that Jesus Christ, this Jesus who was looking for Zacchaeus, he was looking for Zacchaeus. He knew the tree where Zacchaeus was looking and climbed. He was ready for that divine encounter. Jesus originated that. Just like that, Jesus wants to come closer with us and each and every one of us. So we look at this story and we understand this. We understand that we are not to allow the things that we have to prevent us from coming to Jesus, even good things or bad things. Also, we look at the other challenge, big challenge that Zacchaeus had to overcome. His height, he was short. And yes, short people, it's a little more challenging for them. They sometimes don't get enough respect. They sometimes don't see things physically. Sometimes they are looked over in sports or in other area of lives. But God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't look at the outside. The Bible makes it very clear in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7. People look at the outside. People look at the kind of cars we drive. People look at the kind of clothes we have. They look at our looks. They look at things that hit the eye. But God is looking at the heart. More important than what we have and don't have outside, exteriorly, it's important that we have a clean heart. And a clean heart doesn't come from being a perfect person. A clean heart before God comes from being humble, from understanding your need of God. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. It has nothing to do with IQ, as sometimes people put it. It has to do with understanding your need of God, understanding my need of a Savior, my need of the Almighty God, of the Almighty Christ. So this is what we are called to do, to understand our need, our poverty, our spiritual poverty. And despite some of the things that we lack in a physical or outside sense, God can fill each and every one of us. Zacchaeus found a way. He was intentional. He did not allow the given in his life. He could have said, "Well, I wish I could see Jesus, but hey, if God wanted me to see Jesus, he would have made me taller. And then I could see Jesus. But hey, I'm not like King Saul or some tall people, so end of story." Because this is what we do sometimes. We sometimes believe, well, if God wanted me to have this or he wanted me to do that, he would have given me more tools. He would have given me more wealth. He would have given me more height or more money or whatever we want. But despite some of the things that we lack, let's run ahead. Let's be intentional. Let's use whatever circumstances we have, even those who are not inducing, you are not welcoming for us to get closer to God. Let's allow them to be stepping stones. You know, in that day, in order for Zacchaeus to connect with Jesus, he had to climb up. He had to go from the level where he was at. He had to go to a different level. And I sense from the Holy Spirit that Jesus is inviting us, those who are listening to this, the community of Bucharest International Church, he's inviting us from the level of faith where we are right now to go up to a higher level. From the level of generosity that we are right now to go to a higher level. From this level of empathy and solidarity to a higher level of empathy and solidarity with our neighbor, with our dear ones, with other people in the community, with people truly around the world, from Japan to Africa, from Asia to North America. This is what God is looking at. And don't say, "Oh, if he wants to do it, he will just do it." Yes, God is the Almighty God and he's the author and he starts things, but we need to be compliant. We need to be cooperant. You know, Zacchaeus followed the instinct that God gave him. He climbed up the tree. He did not allow his physical limitation to stop him from an encounter with Jesus. And the rest of it is so beautiful. You know, Jesus stops. You imagine, you know, I kind of imagine the situation there. I imagine there are other people pushing. I imagine maybe there are other people who are in trees. But Jesus stops. And then if I imagine people of the city is like, "Hey, who did he stop for? Who did he stop for?" I imagine their awe, and maybe they disgust when they look up and they see who? The bad tax collector, the corrupt tax collector Zacchaeus. I kind of imagine them kind of like scratching their head, like, "What for him?" And then it gets from bad to worse. Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. You know, I must stay at your house today." "At whose house?" "At his house." "Oh, come on. Come on, Jesus. You're not serious." This is what sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't understand God's ways. Sometimes we don't even understand why God is so graceful to other people. But we always want His grace in our life, right? When we understand our need for grace, We'll only celebrate. We'll only be more grateful when God shows grace to other people. Even if there are people who hurt us, even if there are people who disappointed us, just like this Zacchaeus hurt and stole from and disappointed many of his co-citizens and fellow countrymen, because that's who God is. And this is what we are taught to do. There's another story in the Bible when Jesus was in the house of one of the Pharisees, and this sinner, this woman, came down and started to wash his feet. And this prophet, this self-righteous Pharisee, kind of said, "Well, if Jesus was truly a prophet from God, he would know what kind of this woman is." So many times, people, we are so ready to dismiss God. Some people say, "Well, if God is truly God, why he would allow such much suffering? Why he would allow over 10,000 Italians to die? Why would he allow so many people in China to suffer, both from the infection and from a tough regime? Why would so many people in America lose their life? America, who is doing a lot of things, good things in the world, but why not? Why only some people to suffer and others not?" But God is bigger than all of that. And God, just like the Pharisee did not understand why Jesus allowed that woman to wash his feet, and just like this crowd did not understand why Jesus, the perfect Son of God, would mingle and interact with Zacchaeus of all people, just like that, God cares for each and every one of us, and he is not to be dismissed, even though sometimes our own prejudice, our own questions, our own background can be like a stumbling block between us and God. Zacchaeus is happily, he welcomed him gladly. Hallelujah. And this is how we're supposed to be with Jesus. We're supposed to welcome him gladly when he directs us, when he guides us, when he even when he challenges us, we are supposed to welcome him gladly and be obedient. Despite the fact that people were muttering, I'm sure Jesus and Zacchaeus could see the amazing looks. I'm sure they heard the muttering going around. I'm sure Zacchaeus could have said, "Well, yeah, Lord, but I would want to, but look at all these people, they think badly of me, and you'll be gone, and they will maybe hate me even more." No. When Zacchaeus saw Jesus and Jesus told him, "I want to be in your house today," at that time, he did not care what people thought. Because this is one of the biggest challenges and obstacles as we try to come to Jesus. We care too much about what people think. We care too much about what people may say. What if I do this? What would those people think of me? What would my family think of me? What would my friends say about me? What about people who I need to keep up my social pretense? I have a reputation to defend. Yes, be a person of good reputation, but do not let your reputation, do not let your concerns, your social awareness, to prevent you or prevent me from coming closer to Jesus. Because in the end, it's Jesus who is your maker. It's God who created you. In the end, we'll each give an account to him and not to people. Yes, you can listen to people, but don't listen to people as they are God. Only listen to God as he is God. Zacchaeus had to overcome this. He had to overcome. Jesus knew that some of his disciples and friends would look at him like, "Really, Jesus? Him? Of all people in the city, you chose this guy?" He was the epitome of a traitor. He was the epitome of a corrupt person. But that's the love of God. If the gospel is not good enough or is not strong enough for something like Zacchaeus, if the gospel is not strong enough for Mary Magdalene, who came and turned from her sins, if the gospel is not strong enough from the thief next to the Jesus on the cross, who was ready to recognize his need of God and say, "Hey, Jesus, remember me." And Jesus told him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be in paradise with me." If the gospel is not strong enough for the worst sinners, then who is the gospel good enough? If the gospel is only good enough for some people, it means it's not truly the gospel. The gospel is for everyone. And we see the wonderful response of the gospel in the story. We see how Zacchaeus opened his house and stood up before the Lord and listened to this statement. It's an amazing statement. It's one of the most powerful repentance stories in the New Testament. "Look, Lord, here and now." By the way, this is the way we should respond to God. This is the way we need to cooperate with Jesus, here and now. Not like, "Well, I'll think about it." Yes, think. Use your mind. I'm not against thinking, but don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait until your kids grow up to make the right decision. Don't wait until you have enough money for the down payment for your apartment or until your career takes off. Don't wait to be retired and then you can follow your God-given dreams. If God speaks to you, be like Zacchaeus, who said, Lord, Master, Commander, Rabbi, here and now. We are supposed to be, fast, listeners. We're supposed to obey on the spot. And listen what he decided to do. Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. That was a lot of money because remember at the beginning of the passage, he was wealthy. He wasn't just giving a little bit of change. He was giving big stock, big houses. I don't know how all his possessions were, but it was a lot because the Bible does not deceive. He was wealthy and he gives half to the poor, which by the way, we see that we should always care for the poor. Even in times like this, many people in our community, single moms and elderly, they're the first people who are affected by the economic and financial implication of the crisis. And as a community, as a faith community, we need to reach out to them. We need to be there for them, even as we have our own needs and concerns. But he, Zacchaeus, is giving half of his possessions to the poor. And listen to the other part. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, and I'm sure some of the people say, me, you cheated me. Remember, 2 weeks ago when I came with a donkey and I brought some stuff, you asked for half of it. Remember the cheese that I brought in? You asked to taste a little bit and you took like a whole kilogram of it. I'm sure some of the people said, yeah, remember you cheated me. Because you know how we are. People cheat us. I still remember a story in my family. My father, back in like 1982 or 1983, he visited Soviet Union. When he came back, for some reason, the corrupt people at the border, they took a, he had a tent that we were going to use when we go to the Black Sea. And he had the like a machine to make photos, to print photos, like it was back then. And we never got them back. And it's been now, what, 37 years or so? And I still remember, we remember when a border guard mistreats us, I'm sure people remember. And he made this commitment. I don't know how many people he cheated and how many people remember that he cheated them, but it could all well be that after this encounter with Jesus, not only that he became less wealthy, it could be that Zacchaeus had to work his whole life from then on just to pay back for some of the wrongs, for some of the bad things he has done before. What an amazing transformation. What an amazing metamorphosis. You see, this is what the gospel does. When we are truly sincere, when we allow Jesus to come in our life, it really transforms us to the core. It changes us like no one can. And I'm not talking about religion here. I'm not talking about forcing people to fit in our window or in our box of Christianity of religion. I'm talking about allowing Jesus to change us from the inside out, to change the way we deal with people, to change the way we manage finances, to change the way we manage our family relationships and our sexual life and our political life and our social life and our businesses. In every area, God is changing us. This is what the true gospel is. He was ready to make amends. He did not cheapen grace. He didn't say, oh, great, Jesus, I'm glad that now I'm your buddy and you came into my house. And when people mutter and they criticize me, I will say, hey, remember, I'm with Jesus. Remember, Jesus came to visit me. No. He understood what a gift grace was. He understood he could not pay for it, but he understood that if he's a follower of Jesus, because he's calling Jesus Lord, and that's what who we are, and Jesus, that's what he said. If you remember, the couple of weeks ago, I shared about the fact that Jesus is asking us to drop everything, to be ready to drop everything, even the most important possessions and relationships. If he commands us, I'm not asking about people manipulating you. I'm not saying that you should do what other people please pleases them. I'm talking as Jesus guides you. I need to be ready to drop some things to follow him. This is what Zacchaeus done. He was ready to do this. He was ready to make amends. He allowed the gospel to go deeply in his heart, to take responsibility for his past. He could not change the past, but he could take responsibility for it. Ask God's grace, but also be ready to make amends to the people that he wronged. And this is what we are supposed to be. Even our relationships today, we cannot turn times back. We cannot take away the past. But we need to be people who make amends. We need to be people who restore relationships. We need to be people who, in our families, our businesses, and all of our encounters, that we allow God to strengthen us so we can be reliable, so we can be people of restoration, people who take responsibility for their deeds, the good, the bad, and the ugly, just like Zacchaeus did in this story. What an amazing transformation. You imagine how our lives and how the testimony of church would be if more people allow God to transform us like that? The testimony of our own community, of others, if people, when they come to God, they really are so sincere, just like this guy was. He did not care. He rather would lose all his wealth to have Jesus instead of having more wealth and maybe a little bit of Jesus, which is also a good lesson for us, a good reminder that this is how we're supposed to approach Jesus. Yes, he can bless us, he can strengthen us, he can take care of our finances, our business, our children, and I pray that he will prosper us in each and every way. But this is not about a comfortable life, it's not about wealth, it's not about what people think about us. This is about our Lord and Savior, who wants an encounter, who has a divine encounter ready for each and every one of us, not just once, like he had with me back in 89 when Pastor Candrano preached the gospel, but each and every day of our life, even during this season, for however long it is, we need to follow these invitations. Look what Jesus said to him after Zacchaeus took his responsibility, after he declared his allegiance to the Lord, to Jesus the Lord. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man is too a son of Abraham." He wasn't a son of Abraham just because he was an Israelite. He was a son of Abraham because Abraham was the father of faith. Through faith, this Zacchaeus understood who Jesus was. Through faith, he understood that he needs to make amends. Through faith, he understood that Jesus was the Lord of his life. Hallelujah. For the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. Hallelujah. And he's still doing that. So we need to continue to pray for our friends and family who are not ready, who haven't yet understood who Jesus is. Because so many times, the church and religious leaders and even ourselves, we mess up, and sometimes we give the wrong impression to the world of who Jesus is. But let him be who he is. Let the gospel be powerful and change and seek and save people. You know, as we get to an end here, I want us to understand something. But in the end, what allowed for this encounter of Zacchaeus to Jesus was who Jesus was, who our Lord and Savior proves out to be. It's his character who changes the day at the end. Yes, it was important for Zacchaeus not to care about his reputation. It was important for Zacchaeus to think of a plan to overcome his short height. Those things were important. But the one crucial thing was when Jesus encountered Zacchaeus, when Jesus looked to him, you know, it was obviously a divine, you know, revelation that he knew Zacchaeus, he knew who he was. But, you know, I can only picture that moment when Zacchaeus looked in the eyes of Jesus. I'm sure Zacchaeus was used to only seeing eyes of hate, of reproach, of rejection, because his life was such a, you know, he was such a hated character. He was such a shady character. But Jesus did not look to Zacchaeus like that. He looked to him in a welcoming way, in an inviting way, because it, like the Bible says, Zacchaeus welcomed him. So if he welcomed, there was an invitation. Jesus says, "I want to be in your life." Just like it says in Revelation 3:20, "Here I am, I'm knocking at the door of your heart, and if anyone is willing and ready to listen, I want to come in, I want to sit down and have a meal together, fellowship." This is what Jesus wants us to do today. And that's why it's paramount for us to understand the goodness and how amazing God is. He is truly amazing, you know, because in the end, it's not our own devices, it's not our own strategy and efforts that make the relationship work with Jesus, but it's his goodness, it's his character. And I want to briefly read to you a passage of scripture that encourages us, that reminds us of who Jesus is and how we're supposed to, you know, be ready to come to him. It's a passage from the book of Hebrews, from the end of chapter 4 in the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to read from the NIV version. But, you know, the book of Hebrews was a book written so people who grew up in the law of Moses could really understand, could connect the dots, and to see that Jesus was the Messiah that so many people were waiting for in the Israel among the Israelites. Maybe Zacchaeus heard stories too from when he was a child at the synagogue about the promised Messiah, the promised anointed of God. And listen to these words in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, after he talks about, in that scripture, how God is active and how he pursues people, how the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates everything and it brings out everything in clear view. Then in verse 14, it goes like this: "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." What a wonderful encouragement. What a wonderful promise. This is a time of need, not just because of pandemic, but every day is a time of need, of so many needs in our own lives, And the Bible tells us clearly what we need to do. We need to come to approach God, just like Zacchaeus approached Jesus. He did not allow any stumbling blocks, any obstacles to prevent him from coming to Jesus. And like it says here, let us approach God's throne with confidence, with boldness, with openness. And this is our challenge for us today. Let us approach God with confidence. Let us approach his throne with the faith that he will give us grace, that he will give us the things that we need. He'll protect us and he'll protect our future. That's who God is, because we have such a high priest. If any of you know the, in the Old Testament, the high priest had a special role. And once a year, he would have to bring a special sacrifice and go into the Holy of Holies in the temple and bring a sacrifice for him and for the nation. And if he was not right with God, God could strike him there, right there on the spot, But that was representative of the fact that Jesus would become one day the high priest in the order of Melchizedek, as the Bible puts it, And we have to understand that Jesus is the one who entered the Holy of Holies once and for all, once and for one time for eternity. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for each and every person. So now we can come before God with boldness, but not a boldness out of based on who we are, how good, how moral, how tall, how rich, how educated, how what a good resume or pedigree we have. No, but a boldness that comes from knowing that we have a high priest like Jesus who loves us, who just like he loved Zacchaeus, just like he loved Mary and Magdalene, just like he loved his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus, just like that, Jesus loves us, and now he invites us in. He wants to dwell with us, so we can have this confidence, so we can receive mercy and grace for this time of need. I encourage you, Bucharest International Church, to read these passages again, to look at the story of Zacchaeus and learn for yourself, from my own context. And more than anything, look to Jesus, because it's his goodness, it's his grace, it's his amazing empathy, it's his solidarity with us as the humankind that invites us in and makes us to be bold before the throne, so we can ask for mercy, so we can ask for provision, so we can ask for wisdom for the days ahead. And I pray, yes, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will give us such faith, that we will recognize you for who you are. It is not because of our own merit, but it's because of you. Show us mercy. Show us goodness. Show us that amazing new chance that you have given Zacchaeus, this amazing opportunity to be your children, to be transformed like you. We thank you for that, not because we deserve it, but because of who you are. Yes, Lord Jesus, give us such grace. Give us such mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Let's stay close to him and not allow any obstacles of any kind, what we have too much of or what we don't have enough. Let's not allow those things to prevent us. Let's not allow what other people think or may not think of us prevent us from coming closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. But with confidence, with every confidence in him, let us search for mercy, for grace, for strength. I bless you. We'll stay connected. If we can be of any assistance, please reach out. You know how to get a hold of us through the Facebook page. We have a telephone number we can reach. You can find it on the Facebook page or the website. And let us be ready to extend grace and love to others as Jesus fills us with love and grace. God bless you. Hallelujah.